As we begin this morning, as always, I can only share with you what God has been sharing with me. And we heard this morning, who was it? Miriam's husband having this fast-moving infection. I can relate. A week ago, I left the Sunday morning service to find an aching tooth that by Monday morning quickly went into my face and quickly moved around, and I looked like a chipmunk, but only on one side. And it was fascinating. People thought it was funny. My kids thought it was funny. But it was quickly dealt with. And one of those moments where you end up going to the dentist and finally you've got old dental work that's failed and needs attention. And so this morning, sometimes there's passages that often I come back to, and I'm reminded it's like going in for that checkup, going back, and though it's not new, always highlighting and honing in on what's true, what's right, and what's important. And that's what the Lord's been doing in my life as of late, and reminding me of some of these things and principles that I'll share with you this morning. And really, we're going to build off what we were looking at last Sunday, and I'll highlight where we've been so we can move forward then and know where we're going. And in doing so, we'll look to the Lord as always as to where he's taking us this morning in his word. Let's pray, and then we're going to open together. Lord, thank you again that this morning we have an opportunity to come before you. And I thank you that this morning we know a God who is alive, who is well, who is active, who is at work, who has promised that you will complete a work that you've begun. And I just pray this morning that each and every one of us in this room this morning would take time to allow you to again put your finger in that place on our hearts, those areas in which you desire to touch, that this morning that we would see and know a God that we do not need to sing into a room nor pray into this place, but a God who is here, a God who is present, a God who is working, who is molding, who is shaping, who is creating each and every one of us into his image. Thank you that this morning we can open a living word testifying about you, your ways, your life, your truth. And I just pray again this morning that we would allow those things to go deep within us, take root, and to take over. And so I thank you this morning for that and for everyone here and those who can't be here, and just pray that in a measure for each, that we would be blessed this morning as we cling to you alone in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, as we open this morning, I'm going to remind you where we were last Sunday, and if you were able to follow, sometimes I find it's hard enough to follow myself. Listen, we talked about the fact that as we look at our humanity, we are hardwired to conform. We are driven to follow. We are desperate to fit in. And often, as we look around this world, there is a pull on us to fit in, to follow, to conform, to commit ourselves to what everyone else is doing, to where everyone else is going. And it's Jesus, as we read in Matthew 9, who calls us out of that and says, follow me. Not to do what everyone else is doing, not to go where everyone else is going, not to look how everyone else looks, but follow me. And as we looked in Matthew chapter 9, we looked last Sunday that immediately as they began to follow, the questions sprung up, why do you not do what everyone else does? Right? Why does he, the one you're following, not do what everyone else is doing? Why does he spend time with prostitutes, right? Why does he spend time with tax collectors? And so there was an attack on, as they began to follow, now, listen, the more you follow, people began to see a reputation, Jesus' reputation, right? Hanging out with the wrong crowd, doing what seemed to be the wrong things, religiously speaking, going to all the wrong places, meeting with the wrong people. And as we looked last Sunday, there's a few verses in which we're reminded Jesus came of no reputation. And sometimes I find as I operate in this world, what comes to light often is I can be more concerned with my reputation, what other people think, what other people are going to say, than what the Lord thinks, what the Lord says. And so we concluded with this, Jesus saying, listen, you cannot serve two masters, only one. And as I look around this morning, I see, and I'm talking this morning as a deep-rooted people pleaser, right? Someone who will bend over backwards to do, at whatever cost, what others want me to do. That feels good. That drives me often, right? It's rooted deep within. And listen, as we go, as we operate, as we move, as we drive forward, we're confronted with what satisfies. Often, in the moment, the satisfaction of pleasing other people feels good in the moment. Long term, not so good. Overrun, overcommitted, overstretched, tired, right? Why? Because doing everything often at the cost of what I should be doing, right? And so in the moment, there's what feels good, what satisfies, doesn't fulfill in the long term. And I want to share that this morning because we looked at several studies that spoke about, some things in which we saw people hardwired to follow, to obey authority, to fit in, right? This morning, one more study by, a Dutch Nobel laureate named Nico Tinbergen. And I may have shared some of these examples before, but I'll share them again, noting that, once again, the Lord just reminding me of these things. Listen to this. Tinbergen found this, that he was able to take birds that lay small, pale blue eggs, speckled with gray. And listen, if they put bright blue plaster dummies in the nest with large black polka dots, the birds would abandon their eggs for the fakes. They took birds that would feed their young, all right? Listen, they took birds that would feed their young, and if he had his students hold fake bird beaks on small sticks, they found that the birds would stop feeding their young, and if those beaks on sticks were wider and redder than the real chick's beaks, the mother would offer to feed the fake beak before the real beak. They found this, that if they took butterflies and made a small rotating cylinder, the right size, with horizontal brown stripes, that these cylinders would create more attention, more arousal in these male butterflies than real females of their own kind. Bizarre, isn't it? Tinbergen found this. He began to call it something called supernormal stimuli. Great name. Supernormal stimuli. Why? Because he found that in each and every case, there was something there. Fish that when they would fight for a female with other males, that if they put in a fake fish that had a redder underside than all the other fish, they would fight the fake fish rather than the other males. Time and again found that they could place something in the midst, an imitation, and that imitation would drive them to change their activity, alter everything around it, and they would cease to function altogether. Function outside of the way they were intended to function. And this morning, we're going to pick up on a passage that we read together last week, and that was this, that listen, as people began to question the disciples, how they were following, who they were following, Jesus, as I mentioned last Sunday, didn't help their case, because when he spoke, he often spoke controversially in a way that, listen, demanded a decision. And I remind you of this, John 6 and verse 53. Remember, Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh, drinks my blood, has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh, drinks my blood, abides in me, and I in him. And as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever." Now I want to stop there, because as Jesus spoke, he spoke plainly in this way, listen, that as Jesus had been consumed with and consumed by the Father, so he said to all, listen, you need to consume me. Listen, he said, listen, I am in the Father is in me, and I want you to be, what? In me. Abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. As much as he was consumed with and by the Father, so they were to be consumed in the Lord. But as he spoke, I want you to note, he said, listen, this is true food. This is true bread. And as I begin to look around, and he contrasts, listen, this is not the food that your fathers ate. What's he talking about? They all longed for the spiritual food that Moses gave them, or so they thought. They referred to manna. They believed in a God who could satisfy, who could fill and fulfill every need. And it was pictured by those Israelites having left Egypt in a land of slavery, and on their journey of faith to the promised land, when there was no food, God made food. He provided manna. But I want you to remember this, the people complained. The people complained because on their 40-year journey, they got tired of it. They got tired of the provision. The day in, the day out. But that manna was never supposed to satisfy them. Right? How many days was that journey? If they had believed and followed and went when and where the Lord told them. 3-4 days, right? It could have been a 3-day journey, and it took them 40 years. 40 years. But I want you to remember this. Manna had the taste of coriander and honey. It was bitter sweet. When you'd go out to collect it, if you collected too much, you'd find the next morning what? Just enough in your jar. If you went out and collected too little, you'd go in and find what? Just enough in your jar. That manna was there to satisfy the moment. It was there to see their needs, to get them where they were going. But to them, it became more than that. It became what? Everything. God never intended them to live on manna. He wanted them to have milk and honey. Flowing. And yet they settled. They settled for something less. They settled for something inferior. They settled for something that was only supposed to get them there. And Jesus says, listen, this is the bread that comes down into heaven, not as the fathers ate and died, but he who eats this bread will live forever. You see, the bread he was talking about was something more. Something that would not just sustain the day, but fulfill forever. And as I look around this world, We are offered so much. And isn't that the challenge today? Super stimuli is everywhere you go. The lure is out. And we are constantly bombarded with the lure to invest in not that which satisfies, but rather what? That which in the moment might just take over and please the taste. I find it fascinating that we're bombarded with images, right? And you just think today, and you can go online and watch how they Photoshop images on our magazine covers, right? And how they make men with bigger muscles, and they make women with bigger this and slimmer that. And we are told what? You need to live up to what? The impossible image. Super stimuli. You need to look like this. Nobody looks like that. And yet we're told, look like this. And so we're driven to what? We think, if I look like that, I'll be fulfilled. But it never is it? We're never there. We're never perfect. We'll never make it. Fascinating study, and to me, a sign of the culture, right? Total sign of the culture. That everywhere we go today, that there is stuff around us, and we're told, have this, do this, you'll be fulfilled. Yeah, I was chatting with someone who's interested and into philosophy lately, and we had an interesting conversation speaking about this, that today, interestingly enough, a study, and to engage in a mature conversation here, listen, a study goes out that in today's society, people are having less sex than ever before in history. Fascinating why. Because in today's media, what do you see? We've never lived in a time where it is more popular to talk about, more permissive to do. Birth control has never been more advanced. Do you see what I'm saying? We've never lived in a time when it's been more celebrated to be, do, go, and whatever you want, right? And yet, listen to modern music, pop culture, it'll tell you, have it, you'll be fulfilled. It will tell you everybody's doing it. And yet, here's the study, nobody's doing it. It's like everybody's telling everybody else they are, but what? No one in our marriages, older people, younger people, less than ever before. And we're engaged in a time in which images are put forward, and we've created a culture in which we highlight things that aren't real. Lifestyles that aren't real. It's like recently, and I have fond memories of my sisters older, both tortured me and helped me at times, took me to concerts. And some of them, I'd be ashamed to tell you what concert I went to, because then you know I listened to that music and it wouldn't be good. But listen, I remember distinctly where we went, what it was like, what they sung. Looking at footage of a concert recently, and you know what you saw? A sea of phones. Right? Everybody's holding up, everybody in the whole crowd recording the image. And isn't that a telling sign? And often, more busy, more interested in trying to share with other people where I am than being where I am. Do you see what I'm saying? I want my Instagram to reflect, I was here. Don't you wish you were? Here's what I'm doing. Here's where I'm going. Great shot the other day came up on the internet, and it was a mock of this whole thing. It showed the front end hood corner of a Jeep and a wilderness trail. And it was beautiful. And it said, Jeep owners on the weekend. And then the next shot showed the Jeep a little back, and you saw a suspicious rock right in front of them. And then the next picture showed a Jeep a little more back, and you saw that they were in the parking lot of a local park. Right? It was all about the facade, right? I love to put out there what? This is what I do. This is where I go. This is how I live. The reality, I drive my Jeep on the street every day. Right? I love to put big tires on my car so it looks like I go off-road. You see, we live in a day and age where we are constantly what? Trying to keep up with the Joneses, trying to keep up with a false reality, trying to what? Sustain a superficial stimuli that doesn't exist. The unattainable. This world will always offer half-hearted attempts to satisfy. Right? And we have people consumed with pornography and all the while missing true intimacy. Right? Recording events on their phones, spending the whole time recording it, not actually present in it. So busy trying to put on the image of success, of happiness, of joy, all the while what? Sad, depressed, hurt. Just reminded this weekend of a famous DJ in the techno culture who had died this last year of suicide. And everyone was shocked. Why? Because you think of that rave culture is all about what? Happy, dance, ecstasy, joy, freedom. Here was him. Under it all, depression. He had fame, he had fortune. Inside, empty. Now, people started to leave Jesus when he said, listen, this is the true food. Back in John chapter 6 and verse 60, it says, therefore, many of his disciples, they heard this. They said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? As the result, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. And so Jesus said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Listen, Simon answered him. Here's what I want to cling to this morning. Simon answered him. Peter said, listen, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Amen. Isn't that great? Here's people all walking away. Why? Because of what Jesus said, because of how he said it. He turns to them, says, listen, are you going to go to Peter? Listen, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Were the disciples tempted to go? Absolutely. Absolutely. Tempted to walk away with everyone else. Jesus said it this way in John and chapter 5. Listen. He said, listen, you search the scriptures. Verse 39. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. But it is these that testify about me. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. I do not receive glory from men, but I know you and that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Do you not think that I will accuse you before the Father? The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" Listen, verse 44, he puts it this way. "How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God?" Doesn't that define it all? How can you receive glory when you are so busy receiving glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? You get that picture, like it is a bird in all futility trying to feed a fake beak, all the while letting its children starve. You're so busy trying to gain glory from others that you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God. You get the picture of a butterfly who's given all its attention to a bizarre spinning cylinder with brown lines on it, while females lay in want. You get the picture of fish fighting with dummies with red bellies, while others vie for the right to reproduce. So fixated on the super stimuli, the glory from others, that they've begun to stop seeking altogether what? The glory that is from the one and only God. See, today, as we go out these doors, we will be bombarded with stimuli. To seek food, and reading one article recently that said some of the things we eat, including French fries, which are one of my absolute favorite, are like one molecule away from plastic, right? With extra salt, tastes even better, right? But listen, longing for food that doesn't actually fulfill. Longing for attention from others. Unsustainable. Longing for fulfillment, right? People so inundated with false images of what other people should look like, false images of what should be attractive, right? Missing the beauty walking in front of them in real life right now. So fixated on the fantasy, the fallacy, that they can't see the real thing in front of them anymore. And this is the daily checkup that I have to come back to often, that I've shared with you before and unashamedly share again, almost worn out and falling out in my Bible, Psalm 73. "Surely God is good to Israel," verse 1, "to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no pains in their death, and their body is fat, and they are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace." Isn't that it? I look around at the world, and they seem to have better jobs, better cars, better lives, better pictures on Facebook, better Instagram accounts. They're doing more. They seem to be fulfilled more. They seem to be living their best life more. But nobody says, "My feet came close to stumbling." So appealing. He says, listen, verse 12, "These are the wicked, always at ease. They have increase in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my way pure and washed my hands in innocence, for I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning." as the psalmist writes. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight. Listen to verse 17. It was troublesome in my sight until I came into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment. They are utterly swept away by sudden terrors, like a dream when one awakes. O Lord, when aroused, you will despise their form. You know what I love? He says, listen, it was troublesome. Then I came into the sanctuary of the Lord. It's like I had to remove myself and what? Look at it from God's perspective. Then I saw their end. That's when it came clear. That's the moment in which, listen, Peter says, hey, listen, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. There is nowhere else to go. There's nothing that compares. Peter knew it. He knew it. And he was being forced with the decision in that moment to not just know it, but to walk it. And that's the decision today. Have you tasted that the Lord is good? Because for some of you, and I think back to my early days, and know that yes, I may have known the name of the Lord. There was a time in which, I'll tell you this, I did not know the taste of the Lord and his goodness. It was bizarre to me, and it is like I've told you before, my wife, she is the gold standard of BC granola girl. And when she comes in and says to the whole family, after having made some strange looking brown smoothie, everyone come and have a taste. It tastes so healthy. We know we should just go outside and lick dirt because I don't know who gave her the gift, but she has this ability to go, it tastes healthy. To me, that's bad. Whatever that is, I don't want anything of it. But she does. She can grind up raw ingredients, no sugar, no salt, no nothing, and go, mmm. And I go, ugh, as do some of our kids. Right? But listen, there's a time in which, as we were challenging each other, in which there was a moment in which we chose, for full family, put the sugar away for a month, right? Set aside all the extras. All the sweets, all this, all that. Let's get back to the basics. And I'll tell you something. All of a sudden, fruit that wasn't so sweet started to taste sweet again. It was amazing. Things that didn't taste good started to have taste again. But it took the moment of first letting go of that which we were consuming, that which was our choice, that which was our drive, to get back to the point where we could taste again, see the truth again, see the light again, see what was right again. And today, as we go out these doors, we're going to be presented that opportunity. And if you have not tasted the goodness of the Lord, what does the psalmist say? Taste and see that the Lord is good. It's time. In a world longing for fulfillment and nobody is satisfied, it's time to taste. The irreplaceable satisfaction that the Lord can bring. And perhaps if you're like me, who's taken time, who's experienced, seen, and then time in which what? You fall back, right? You realize how good the fruit is on the other side, and then you go, oh, but those French fries are so good. And one leads to two, and two leads to three, and three leads to a whole carton. We know it, right? I have a son who's 17 now. He's hilarious because he has this ability that I think he got from me. It's an inability to shut off. When he's eating, and he's the one who was here last Sunday when I said I used to introduce him as mini-me, and now he's larger than me. And listen, you'll say, hey, are you full? And he'll say, yes, but right now I'm just eating for taste. He keeps going. Like, he's got it, right? It's me when you know, you've had a long car trip and you've had donuts in the car, right? And you ate one too many and felt rotten all night long, right? And you go back the next morning to clean the car out and you find one more donut there under the seat somewhere. And you've just suffered for 20 hours and you go, oh, but it's so good. And you eat it anyway, right? That's me. That's me. And here's the Lord. No, I'm still here. Right? Half the battle is waking up to the reality that today as you go out this door, there is going to be super stimuli everywhere. Trying to take your gaze. Trying to take your life. A world that wants you to play their game. And I'm finding more and more it's time to put down the phone. Take less pictures and put on the ability to be present in the moment. To stop and invest in what satisfies, not the taste of the moment, but the life ever after. Right? Today, God may be putting a finger in each of our hearts where perhaps we've fallen into the trap. Invested in the lie, the shadow of reality of what life is all about. And all the while, here's the Lord, John 6, what does he say? Listen, this is true food. This is the true bread in which you find eternal life. As I've often said, as I quote my friend Major Thomas before he went to the Lord, listen, you need never ask for anything more than what God's offered. You need never settle for anything less. And I find I do an awful lot of settling. Settling for the air of doing well. Settling for the air of what? Pictures that make it look like it's all going good. Settling for the air that it's all fine, rather than walking in the reality, the hard road of righteousness. Today, you will find greater satisfaction walking in reality, however hard it may be, than you will caught up in the lie of the superficial stimulus that the world is asking for. Set aside the images that you've been aiming for. Set aside the fantasy that you've been living in. And begin to ask the Lord what true living is. That's the prayer. And I hope as God's been challenging me, he will also be challenging you to go out and not be consumed by this world, but consumed by a loving God in which we live and have righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you've called us out of this world, a world in which we can see so many are saying we're living life, and yet life seems to be the very thing that all lack. I pray this morning that as you touch each and every one of our lives, we know these things affect all of us, the married, the unmarried, longing for images of this marriage, that marriage, not my marriage, right? All these things, instead of living in the reality of the marriage you've given me. I think the situation, I want to be in this situation, that situation, rather than being in the situation you've placed me. I want to be something else. I want to do something else. Listen, today, you've chosen not to take us out of real life, to provide real life in the midst of it. Thank you that with you in the midst, when we abide in you, you begin to provide that fruit of righteousness that will fulfill, that will sustain, that will make every longing come to that place where we can see your good hand at work. Thank you that you are a loving God who goes out these doors with each and every one of us. And I pray that you would continue to open our eyes, though often our feet come close to stumbling, to what the world is selling us, and may we never settle. Thank you that you are a God of life who loves and lives. And I pray again today that we would enjoy you to the fullest. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen.